Welcome, everybody, to another edition of Three Up, Three Down, where we are in the middle of the pennant chase. Lots of great action, great baseball talk coming your way. I just rushed back. I went to the Andy Murray Novak Djokovic U.S. Open Final. Andy Murray became the first British man since 1936 to win a tennis major. Exciting times there. But I love baseball so much, I snuck over from Arthur Ashe right after and still caught three innings of the Mets-Nationals game. So if you want to see a picture of both at the same time, head over to the blog 3u3d.mlblogs.com. Have it up over there. But we're going to get to the baseball talk now. Let me introduce my baseball roundtable associates once again for this week. Starting off with Brian Boynton representing the AL West.
Hello, everyone.
Kicking it over to the other West, Jeremy Dorn representing the National League West.
How's it going?
KP Kurt Peter representing the NL Central and the on fire Milwaukee Brewers.
Well, you're going to take my thunder. I was going to say something about the Brewers, but they speak for themselves night after night.
Yeah, that was pretty much the only bad thing that happened to me tonight, is that the Braves lost. I even got a tweet from Lindsay Zarniak, SportsCenter anchor. That was exciting, too. What a perfect night. And my name, Brian Mapes. Angelo Felicia, representing the AL Central, is on assignment in Florida. He will be back next week. Gonna start it off with the big news, obviously, this week. Everybody said Steven Strasburg's last start would be at Citi Field on Wednesday. Instead, he gets rocked again and is shut down by the Washington Nationals one start early. They say it's more of a mental thing now with Strasburg than a physical thing. Guys, have the Washington Nationals completely botched what they did with Strasburg this season, especially after seeing what the Braves did with Chris Medlin, a very similar situation? Medlin had Tommy John surgery 2 weeks before Strasburg did in 2010. They sent him to the bullpen. Now they have Chris Medlin, who's been fantastic for the playoffs, and Steven Strasburg's now on the shelf. Are the Nationals doing the right thing with Steven Strasburg? We'll start it off with Jeremy.
No, I don't think they did the right thing. Not with the playoffs looming. This is a playoff team. They have a legit chance at the World Series. We talked about it last week on the podcast. And, you know, you need your best pitcher in there, what happens when they realize that they need him at some point in the playoffs and they're like, oh, great, he's been shut down for a month. That being said, they do have a good rotation, good bullpen without Strasburg, but I don't know if it's going to be enough, quite frankly.
KP, over to you. Are the Nationals, do you think, are doing the right thing with Strasburg here?
Yeah, we touched about it last week, too. I mean, yes and no. Yes to, in theory, preserve his future. I mean, you can't predict the future, so you would never know if Strasburg comes out and throws the rest of the month, and for the rest of his life, he's fine. But by doing this, I mean, they are preserving him for a long-term contract. I mean, they're going to want him for the next 5 years and for however long he's going to pitch it as a National, completely healthy, and for hopefully a lot of their playoff runs with their younger lineup.
Brian, over to you. Are the Nationals doing the right thing with Strasburg here?
Well, again, there's no proven history that says that shutting a pitcher down preserves his arm or that pitching him will lead him to re-injure his arm. But, yes, I think they are doing the right thing. They could have gone about it a different way. Like we said, give him the month of June in the bullpen so he's fresh in September to pitch. But for their team, for the future of their team, I think this is the best thing they could do.
Yeah, I don't know what the Nationals are thinking here. It's almost like they've gotten in Strasburg's head now that almost like they don't trust him to be able to take care of his own health. It's going to be a very interesting thing to see what happens in 2013 with the Nationals and Steven Strasburg. Nationals not the only team in the playoff race, though. Two teams that we kind of deadpanned last week, but now they got hot again. Both the Philadelphia Phillies, after winning today on the shoulders of a future three-up pitcher that we will get to later in the podcast, plus the Brewers beat the Braves tonight, 4-1. Both teams are 5.5 games out of the second wild card spot currently held by the Cardinals. Which team has a better chance of being Cinderella, the Brewers or the Phillies? We'll start it off with KP.
Oh, I thought I was going to wrap it up, but being a homer, I think I would be wrong not saying the Brewers, but there are some stats that back it up. Just by looking at their most recent games, I think the Brewers, they're going to put up more runs, like game in, game out. Their pitching's been turned around. I mean, they've allowed hardly any runs in every game that they've played, like around four-ish. Granted, the Phillies have allowed about two for the last five or six games, but I mean, we play in a hitter's ballpark. The Brewers, they hit home runs. I think they're third in the majors with home runs, or in the top four at least. And their bullpen's coming around. If this is what the bullpen was supposed to be like the whole year, we would be hopefully in the Braves position as it is right now, or maybe even the Reds, because locking it down from the seventh to the ninth is what we've been doing the last four nights. Axford's got five saves of the last eight games, including tonight, so six saves. And he's converted his last 10, I think. It's just kind of all clicking right now. And so is the Phillies, and I can't discredit what they're doing, but I just think that the Brewers are riding a hot wave right now, kind of like the Cardinals.
Jeremy, over to you. Which Cinderella story has a better chance of getting to the playoffs?
It's been intriguing to watch them both climb back into contention, and equally infuriating if you're a fan of a team ahead of them. But that's a tough call. I'm going to go with, just by a hair, I think the Phillies, sorry KP, have a little bit better chance. Their pitchers have been there before. You know, they're former Cy Young winners. Neither of them have a super easy schedule per se. But, you know, the Brewers have a really tough stretch coming up here. They beat the Braves tonight, but they have two more against the Braves. And then they play the Pirates in Pittsburgh for three, followed by three in Washington, D.C., or four in Washington, D.C., and three in Cincinnati. And I know that they have that easy six-game stretch at the end, but, I mean, that's quite a gauntlet in the middle of the month to run through. And, you know, they not only do they have to continue to play well, but they have to get some help from people in front of them. So, you know, I think if either of them are going to pull off kind of that miracle comeback and take a wild card spot, it's going to be the Phillies with a little easier schedule and that veteran pitching.
Brian, over to you. Who do you think has the better chance of making the playoffs, the Phillies or the Brewers?
Wow, I get the tiebreaker on this one. I'm going to have to agree with Jeremy on this. I think the Phillies do. When you can throw out, I know Roy Halladay's had a down year, but when you can throw out Halladay followed by Lee, you got Chase Utley, who's finally back, getting healthy again. He's kind of starting to hit. I know he hadn't been hitting lately. Then you got Ryan Howard getting the at-bats. I keep taking the veteran players, and y'all harass me about it all the time. But veteran players come through when you need them too. So I would honestly, I know Braun's been great, but I think the Phillies take it if they can get a collapse like, I'm sorry, Mace, but like the Braves had last year.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've completely blocked that out of my mind.
I meant the Red Sox. The Red Sox had last year.
That's more like it. I'm going to pick the Phillies. I still think pitching is valuable enough, and they've got the three best pitchers. I would take all three Phillies pitchers over any pitcher for the Brewers. Plus, Kyle Kendrick has been great lately. We'll get to him little bit later.
I can't work with these people.
I'm sorry, KP. Going to move over to a couple of injuries affecting the American League East race. Nick Markakis has a broken hand. He is done, presumably, for the rest of the season as he takes a hit by a pitch from CeCe Sabathia during that big series between the Orioles and the Yankees. Mark Teixeira re-injures his calf, presumably, on that sliding play. He is out 10 to 14 days, it seems like, according to the doctors for the Yankees. Which is the bigger blow, guys? Markakis out for the year or Mark Teixeira out a couple weeks for the Yankees in that AL East race? We'll go over to the AL guy in Brian.
Well, with the Yankees' firepower, I mean, they just got A-Rod back. They have a lot heavier lineup. I'm going to go with Markakis because he hits in the middle of that lineup. So I think without him in the Baltimore lineup, I don't think they can catch the Yankees now.
Guys, we saw the end of that Saturday night Orioles-Yankees game. Jerry Meals blew the call at first base when Mark Teixeira slid into first base. Umpires are trained more to listen for the foot of the bag hitting the base and having the play. Mark Teixeira sliding kind of altered that chance, but he was still clearly safe. Is there still something that umpires need to do? Do we still need instant replay in the ninth inning on calls like that, you think? I'm going to go over to Jeremy.
You know, I always was a, you know, I consider myself a traditionalist with, you know, new rules and expanded wild cards and all that stuff, but I have found myself coming more and more around in favor of instant replay, because when you think about how important that one play is, you know, the Orioles get the win. If they win the division by one game over the Yankees, I mean, that puts them in a much better playoff spot than a potential wild card for the Yankees or out of the playoffs altogether. So yeah, I know it's totally against everything I stand for in baseball, but when it's something that valuable to a wild card race or a playoff race at all, I think that's something you definitely have to look into pretty hard.
Over to you, KP. Do you think that we need that kind of replay on out safe calls, like, say, in the ninth inning of games?
Yeah, I mean, we had touched on this way back when they first admitted the like replay rules, and we were talking about it in an early podcast, which I said that I think that a good, at least transitionary thing, or maybe would be to do something like seventh inning or later only, things like that. But eventually transitioning to what I was talking about earlier was that we have the four umpires nowadays, but to have a fifth one be the guy who watches the TV or whatever. I mean, it takes, if it's a close play on the field, it literally takes the guys in the TV room or wherever. I mean, with technology, it takes them like 15 seconds to just like, oh, that was foul, or yes, the hand touched the base beforehand. And if it's really that close, so they take another like 2 minutes to get it right in a clutch situation. I mean, I don't think it would take any time away from the game. Yes, it's, quote, not pure the game because the umpires factor in, but I think in the sake of technology, it's going to be a necessity eventually.
Brian, over to you. Do you think that there should be instant replay on fair foul calls? Not fair foul calls, out safe calls in the ninth inning or later of games?
I guess they could do it kind of like football rules where it goes automatically instant replay, any scoring play in the or any scoring play, but it automatically goes to instant replay in the last 2 minutes. It's seventh, eighth, ninth inning, I guess they could do it then, but you'd have to designate someone to do it, and I guess the only person at the field that could be designated to view that would either be a fifth official or maybe the guy who calls errors or
official scorekeeper.
Yeah, official scorekeeper. I guess they'd be the only two guys you can get to do it.
How about they designate me to do it? I'll just sit in a room. We'll get the cave monster from the MLB fan cave, and I'll sit and watch all the games. And I'll, like, send a little dinging light to every game that needs replay done.
Kind of like the Buffalo Wild Wings board?
I'm in. Let's sign me up for that. I'm going to apply to that on MLB.com tomorrow. I'm sure it's a thing.
They have to write it, right?
Yeah. The last bit of news, once again, this week in Tommy John. Juan Carlos Oviedo, you know him, but you may not know him. Formerly, the Marlins closer, Leo Nunez, underwent Tommy John surgery on Thursday, effectively ending a season that he, quite frankly, never even got started. But yet there's another player that is rumored might need Tommy John surgery. Jeremy, what's going on in Dodgerland with some Tommy John news?
Yeah, well, it's just been recently released in the last few days that this arm trouble Chad Billingsley went down with. You know, we knew he was probably not coming back this season, definitely not in the regular season. And now it seems that he is, you know, confirmed out no matter if they make the playoffs, and they're considering, you know, he might possibly need Tommy John. So I guess that remains to be seen. It hasn't been officially announced either way yet. Obviously, it's a pretty big blow either way. That being said, you know, I'm sure the Dodgers are, the new ownership's going to reach deep into its pockets to bolster that rotation anyway in the offseason. So it remains to be seen how big a loss it would be if Billingsley was out for all of next season.
A little other injury news, Clayton Kershaw, scratch from Sunday's start. Looks like he will start Tuesday. Everything going okay with Clayton Kershaw, Jeremy? I might as well hit you up for all the Dodger pitcher injury news while we're at it.
Yeah, no, that's fine. One fell swoop here, but it's from what I heard, you know, I'm not super familiar with it because they didn't actually release that much news on it. I know he got scratched before game time yesterday. Blanton started. We saw how that went, unfortunately, how it always goes. But, yeah, Kershaw, he had something wrong with his hip, like a sore hip or something like that. They had originally started him on Sunday on, you know, one place ahead of his normal rotation spot. So just gave him an extra day to rest and puts him back in his normal rotation spot. And according to some people I saw on Twitter, that will line him up. If we make that one-game wildcard playoff, it will line Kershaw up perfectly to pitch that game. So that was another factor.
All right, going to move over to three up, three down fantasy. And we will start it off with the pitcher that I alluded to before and then somehow still subbed his name a little bit later. So, KP, who is your three-up player for this week?
My three-up player will be Phillies pitcher Kyle Kendrick. And for the sake of the Brewers, hope he doesn't keep pitching well. But he has been pitching lights out as of late. His last six starts, he's won five of them. And he lost one where he allowed two earned runs. So that's hardly a complaint in that regard. He's allowed 0-0, 2-2-2, and 1 in his last six starts. He's striking out a lot of people. The Phillies are giving him runs. He's going to win a lot of games. So if you're looking for that late playoff push and Kyle Kendrick is available for you, he'll get you some wins down the stretch.
His next start is going to be at the Astros. You've got to like that, especially if rumored possibly that Roger Clemens might be pitching an inning for them at some point. But Kyle Kendrick has been fantastic. Another great start against the Marlins tonight. At the Astros next. After that, he would be – looks like he will miss the series at the Mets and get the first game against Atlanta at home and then the Nationals at home. So it'll be an interesting stretch there for Kyle Kendrick. But if you're in the playoffs right now, you definitely want to spot start Kendrick at the Astros. Going to go over to the next three-up player, and it's a guy. Anytime this guy does something, Jeremy insists that he should be the MVP, but we're just going to make him a three-up player for now. Jeremy, who's your three-up player for this week?
Oh, being a three-up player might as well be the MVP award. It's almost as good. But this is Josh Donaldson, who, it's true, I've been hounding Mapes on. I text him every time he hits a homer or drives in a run. And just the three little letters, MVP, that's all I write. Don't even answer. But he's been absolutely on fire about mid-August. In August, he hit .344. His average has dipped a little bit at the beginning of September, but he's been really clutch. He's kind of more than filled in for Brandon Inge. Inge was only around because he was, you know, coming up with clutch hits. His only hits were in crunch time, really. And that's kind of what Donaldson's been doing lately. Yeah, he's got, geez, I think six homers and 17 or 18 RBIs in the last 25 games. So he's putting up good power numbers, and he's earned his spot. You know, he gets a start at a couple different positions anytime Bob Melvin needs him. And definitely a guy you should look to have on your bench, because the way the A's are playing, the way he's hitting, it's not a bad option to have filling in on an off day, or if he catches fire again, it's a good guy to have slotted in there.
And Josh Donaldson does have catcher eligibility in Yahoo leagues, along with third base eligibility, owned in just 16% of leagues, who has been an offensive wonderkind for the Athletics. I forgot to mention Kyle Kendrick owned in just 26% of leagues. It was up to 32% heading into the start as he got spot started, but already dropped in a bunch of leagues back down to 26%. Going to move over to my three-up player for this week. And if you're looking for strikeouts down the stretch, I think I've got the guy for you. It's Chris Archer, starting pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays, owned in just 3% of Yahoo Fantasy Leagues, 25 strikeouts in 18 innings pitched in 3 starts in the majors this year. He took the Rays lost, but it wasn't Archer's fault, against the Rangers this past weekend. 7 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks, 11 strikeouts. If he can do that against a quality offense like the Texas Rangers, he should be able to do it against other teams. Let me see Tampa's schedule. His next start will be against the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 at the Yankees. Probably not good there, but then he gets a nice little stretch home against the Red Sox and the Blue Jays. So maybe not at the Yankees, but the Yankees do have trouble facing pitchers for the first time. That has always been their kryptonite. So if you're desperate for some strikeouts, could do worse than Chris Archer at the Yankees, but you definitely want him for that next homestand against the Red Sox and the Blue Jays, two teams that are in the basement of the AL East. Going to move over to three down for this week, and we are featuring three big-name hitters that have been absolutely slumping the past 2 weeks, and you might need to start questioning if they should be in your lineup if you have a hot hitter. Going to start it off with Brian. Who is your three-down player for this week?
Well, it is none other than Texas Rangers second baseman Ian Kinsler, who has been a disappointment, I guess, to say the least, of late. Maybe he's fatigued. Maybe he needs to take a couple days off. That would be my suggestion for Ron Washington, but he doesn't listen to me, obviously. But in the month of September, he's hitting 182 with just 2 doubles, no home runs, 6 hits, and 33 at-bats. That's just not getting it done for your leadoff hitter. And over the last 7 days, he's raised his average to 207. I mean, that's pretty good, right? And he's got all 6 of those hits in the last week. But I guess in his last, was this, 5 games, he's 2-for-17. That's just not very good. And he's having some lapses on the plate. It's just a mental thing with him. I think he just needs a couple of days off. But that doesn't help you if you're in the playoffs or your fantasy team. So bench him or cut him. Be my suggestion to you.
I don't think that we can outright cut him. You don't want somebody else picking up Ian Kinsler and he gets hot again. But you might need to be careful if you have other second base options, middle infielder options. Might be good to bench him for now. Going to go back over to KP for his three-down player for this week. And this one will help definitely if this guy keeps it up in the Brewers' chase for the wild card.
Yeah, I conveniently picked two guys that would help the Brewers get into the playoffs if they keep playing how they – or no, I guess the Phillies don't. But Carlos Beltran of the Cardinals – Beltran, I guess if you'd like to call it – has been just terrible. In fact, the last 2-3 months even, 2.5 months, the last 10 games he's batting 161. He's 5-of-31. He's luckily got 1 home run. I mean, all of September he's batting 158. Heck, in August he was 211 and July was 200. So he's been nothing but slumping as of late. And for anyone's sake in the playoffs, I mean, no one wants a 0-4 guy coming up every day. So you either bench him, find another outfield that can get on base a lot, or pray.
A lot of praying from Carlos Beltran owners of late. I've actually been benching him for Drew Stubbs in the league. I have Beltran after absolutely being fantastic throughout this season. Another fantastic player who has been slumping as of late, still maybe not completely correct since returning. Jeremy, I know this is going to be tough for you, but who is your three-down player for this week?
It's not as tough as you would think. I mean, Matt Kemp has been hitting the skids so hard since he ran into the fence in Colorado. And, you know, he finally, once he got taken out of the lineup a couple games ago, he finally admitted, yeah, my shoulder's bothering me. And he got an MRI on, he got a cortisone shot, you know, finally getting it cleaned up. And that's your front shoulder of a power hitter's swing. You can imagine how that would affect him. So, yeah, he's been in a straight-up tailspin since that happened since he crashed into the wall August 29th, I believe, 28th maybe. Since then, he has three hits and 30 at-bats since then. So he's seen his average drop. He peaked at 359 about, oh, geez, like 3.5 weeks ago. He's down to 315 now, hitting just 115 in September. He's got one home run. It was a wall scraper. I don't know, man. He's not playing healthy. He's not playing well. I do believe that when he comes back and he's healthy that he will put up numbers again, so I wouldn't, you know, bother trying to get rid of him or anything. I mean, that'd be ludicrous. Definitely keep him on your bench until he's full strength again. But for now, yeah, he's just not a guy you can have in your starting lineup.
All right. That's going to do it for three up, three down for this week. And let's just say last week we had Eric Stoltz, three up. Tonight against the Cardinals, 5 1/3, 5 hits, 1 walk, 3 earned, 5 strikeouts. So he helped you out in the strikeouts. Will get a win as the Padres are currently up 8-3 in the bottom of the seventh. So things looking good over in Petco Park. And that would actually put the Phillies and the Brewers just 5 games out of the second wild card if they hold on. That's going to do it for three up, three down this week. Actually, I lied. Cut that part out. Stop at the Eric Stoltz part. We still got to go to the awards thing. All right. Going to go over to our next segment, and we were going to do it last week, but we ran long. Hope you enjoyed the interview with Lindsey Gentile about the 2014 All-Star Game coming to Minnesota. This week, we're going to push it to our monthly debate where they get to bash me for my awards rankings on our blog, 3u3d.mlblogs.com. This month was the almost on time MLB awards. And even since I posted them, things might have changed in this twisted little mind of mine, but I'm going to still stick with those for now, but give these guys an opportunity to air their grievances against me. I'm sure Angelo's disappointed. He's going to miss out on this. We will start it off with Brian. What is your grievance against my MLB awards for this month?
I agree with you on most everything on here, including, like, I like how you put Felix Hernandez the gold medal for the Cy Young. I think he wins it, especially after the perfect game. But the only thing I have to debate you on is Todd Frazier not being the National League Rookie of the Year, hitting in the middle of a lineup when Joey Votto was absent for much of the season. He was leading the Reds. I think he's the National League Rookie of the Year.
That's fair enough. I've seen a lot of other guys say that for now that Frazier is the Rookie of the Year. It's kind of comparing apples to oranges when you're looking at Todd Frazier and Wade Miley, who are clearly the top two candidates for National League Rookie of the Year. But I've had Miley in that position for the last 3 months. He's my guy. I'm going to stick with him. It's hard to go against him, as Miley has been fantastic, leading National League rookies in ERA and WHIP. And he's actually been third in wins above replacement among all National League pitchers. So I'm still sticking with Wade Miley for now, but Todd Frazier, another hot month, could take that award away from him. Going to go over to Jeremy. What is your grievance with my awards for the month of August?
Well, I'm going to be picky again. It seems like I always start with that when we do this segment, but it's actually going to be picking on your two Reds players you have in the NL Cy Young, not Cueto. I actually think he should be the silver medalist. You know how I feel regardless of how dominant, even when Eric Gagne won the Cy Young, I felt that was a little bit questionable, even how dominating that steroid-laced season was. Yeah, Aroldis Chapman with that silver medal, man, I don't know. It's fantastic numbers, you know, mind-blowing numbers. But I just can't get over the fact that someone like Cueto and Dickey and Kane, all these guys that are in the running for Cy Young, you know, they make 30 to 35 starts if they have a full healthy season, and we're talking probably an average of 6 innings an outing, whereas Chapman's going to make 60 appearances, and they're all going to be an inning. So, I don't know. I just think that you know, while the ninth inning is a very important shutdown inning and no one's been better than, well, maybe Kimbrel, but no one else has been better than Chapman and the Reds, and that's why they have a big lead in the Central. You know, they've had that great bullpen. I feel that that is a revolving door position. You know, closers come out of nowhere. If you throw hard and have the right mindset, you can be a good closer. Not necessarily a great closer like Chapman. No one throws that hard. No one has blossomed that fast and been that dominant that fast. But that being said, I'm just not a big fan of a reliever even being top three for Cy Young, let alone that close to winning it.
It's a fair statement, but when I see all of these pitchers in the National League and you think that they all have similar numbers between Dickey and Kane and Cueto and Kershaw and Bumgarner and Zimmerman and Gio and Strasburg and Hamels and even Kyle Loesch, if Kyle Loesch can put up those numbers, it kind of like devalues what the other starters are doing, and it just makes me think, okay, it's 2022, and I'm going to think back on the 2012 season. What am I going to think of first as a pitching performance from the National League? And I think I would put Chapman there. I'm going to remember what Chapman did amazingly out of the reliever role, and I'm probably going to remember Dickey first, just because the knuckleball, the story, the great numbers, the crazy streak he went on earlier this season. So that's why Dickey's in my gold medal position and Chapman is in my silver medal for now. There's still time, but Chapman's numbers are so ridiculous.
Is it a matter of the starting pitchers devaluing each other, or has it been just such a strong season across the board for National League starters? I mean, there's a reason that there's so many candidates. So we've seen some incredible starting pitching this year. You know, you're the pitcher, as we've been saying all season. Do you think that's something that you could possibly be overlooking by putting a dominant reliever in there? Or, because I see your point too with, you know, them devaluing each other, you know, kind of like taking votes away from each other, like in an MVP race. But I mean, they're all deserving of consideration. Chapman included, don't get me wrong, he's deserving of consideration. I just think, you know, closers have a harder case to make when they pitch in probably a third, if not a quarter, of the same amount of innings as a starting pitcher does.
Right, and I've always been on that, if a closer is going to win this, they have to be completely dominant, and that has what Aroldis Chapman has been to me this season. It's just that there are literally, this is the most wide open race. There are 10 guys that have a case to win this National League Cy Young. You could pick one of these guys out of a hat, and I could give you 3 stats on why this guy should win the National League Cy Young. It's going to be the most ridiculous race. There are guys that won't even get votes on the ballot that you'd be like, how did this person not even get on one of the writers' ballots? It's going to be insane, but I still think Dickey 1, Chapman 2 for now. I almost had Cueto 2, but gotta stir up the pot a little bit, get the juices flowing. KP, over to you. What would you like to argue with on the awards this month?
Well, this might have been called from about a mile away, but my obvious biggest complaint is how Ryan Braun isn't number one on the NL MVP list. Yes, that may be a homer, but I've sat here while you guys were all discussing about this and broke down all the stats. And the two other main contenders we can probably narrow it down to are Andrew McCutchen, yes?
Yep.
And Buster Posey, surging?
Yes.
David Wright is out?
Yes.
Yes.
David Wright is out.
So, Braun, Posey, McCutchen. Those are the three I'm looking at. And I'm looking at the NL batting leaders for pretty much everything. And the only thing that Braun is even close to trailing McCutchen or Posey are, I don't want to say made up stats, but like the wins above replacement. I mean, he's ahead by 0.3, which is hardly anything in that. Posey's ahead in offensive war by 0.9, which is quite a bit, but when it comes down to, like, original stats, Braun is really only trailing batting average, I mean, on-base percentage, and that's about it. On-base plus slugging, he's beaten McCutchen by .02, Posey by .5 or .05. Slugging, he's crushing both of them. I mean, total bases, I was looking at how many hits they all have. Posey is not even the top 10 in the league in hits. McCutcheon's number one, Braun's behind by 12, and Braun's got 30 more total bases than McCutcheon and 12 less hits. I don't know how you can, like, even wrap that around that. Yes, his team may or may not make the playoffs. This late surge is definitely bolstering his resume as it comes to it, towards it. I mean, he's got more stolen bases than McCutcheon does. He's got more way more than five home runs than he does. He's lead Braun's a five ahead of Jay Bruce and Giancarlo. He's got two behind Chase Headley for the most RBIs. I mean, it's just not even a question. I don't even see how it's possible that anyone else can win aside from the Matt Kemp effect from last year and all the writers thinking that he is juicing.
I've seen tweets about it. How can Braun be better this year but be less valuable to the Brewers? And I don't have an answer for that. I think as of right now, I mean, these came out 10 days ago, so things have changed a little bit. Posey's a little bit closer to my number one now, but I still think McCutcheon is the top guy ahead of Ryan Braun. He leads the National League in hits. He's kept that Pirates team that's not very good afloat. If you look at adjusted OPS, I know you hate the made-up stats, but if you look at adjusted OPS, which takes into account the ballpark, you got to remember Braun plays in a much better hitter's park than Posey does, than McCutcheon does. 1-2 in adjusted OPS. Number one, McCutcheon. Number two, Posey. A pretty distant third is Ryan Braun. So when you take into effect where these guys are playing, McCutcheon and Posey have had possibly the better season in OPS.
They're ahead by 6 and 7.
Okay, that's pretty solid numbers, considering Melky Cabrera is actually fourth in the stat, but that's another that's another thing. But I still think McCutcheon is going to end up top two. He's going to beat him in batting average.
Yeah, Posey's not going to win anything. He's not leading anything.
I mean, they're different players. I mean, McCutcheon leads them in runs. Braun
by three.
Braun leads in RBIs and
everything
stolen bases.
Else. Except average, on-base percentage, and runs.
But Andrew McCutcheon, much better defensive player than Ryan Braun.
Oh, my God.
You got to give that. Defense is part of the game.
Oh, my gosh.
Defense is part of the game. Have you watched Andrew McCutcheon play defense?
Have you watched Ryan Braun play defense?
I have. If he was so good, he'd play center field, not left field.
Oh, my gosh.
So fast.
No, we have Carlos Gomez.
I hate to make arguments against Ryan Braun. I love Ryan Braun, but I don't know. It's still McCutcheon to me. The made-up stat of offensive war, according to you, has McCutcheon way, way ahead on a different level, even Posey on a different level from Braun. Ryan Braun's in Chase Headley territory.
Yeah, I agree with that. Offensive war one is one that, like, stands out the most as like, McCutcheon's way leagues ahead. But everything else.
Still time.
There's still time.
It's these races are going to be very interesting down the stretch. I'm guessing you guys pretty much think I nailed the AL then, so I will thank you guys for picking all NL awards to pick on me for this month. That is going to do it for 3 Up, 3 Down this week. Hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions about my awards, check them out, 3u3d.mlblogs.com, the Almost On Time Awards. If you want to tweet at me, at IamMapes, with your grievances against me, let me know. I'd love to hear them. Maybe you can help KP make the case for Ryan Braun as the MVP of the National League. That's going to do it for us this week. Let me thank my baseball roundtable once again, KP, Kurt Peter, Jeremy Dorn, and Brian Boynton. I am merely Brian Mapes. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. It's at 3U3D. Like us on Facebook, 3up3down, all words, no numbers over there. Read the blog, 3u3d.mlblogs.com. Very awesomely, the number 12 ranked fan blog on MLB blogs for the month of August. And Rays Renegade, who is the consistent number 2 or number 1, announced he is going to end blogging as of September 1st. So we actually have a legitimate chance at the top 10. So read, click, enjoy it. We want to thank Rays Renegade for being a great blog. Lots of great Rays information this season from him. Wish him the best in his future endeavors. If you want to email us, it's 3u3dbaseball@gmail.com. Whatever you want to tell us over there in email form. And that's going to do it for us. I'm sorry we ran out of time. We will get to Eddie Mata the next time.
No, you're not alone, 'cause I'm gonna make this place yours.